Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The season is over. The lights have all been turned off. Everyone has gone home. There, in eerie silence, sits Ray Stakanis. A single scented candle from Bath & Body Works, the Upside Down from the Stranger Things collection, flickers as the only light source. Ray slumps in his lazy boy recliner, trying to make sense of what just happened in season 6 and how it could have gone oh so wrong. There was a judge who loved Captain America judging the Captain America battle. Loss. There was a battle where Black Adam struck Dr. Doom so fast that he somehow ended it before Dr. Doom could even react. Loss. Stephon Thomas came back this season. Loss. Ray hatches a plan to get his steam back for season 7. It involves video game characters on both sides of the argument and the hype of a new movie hitting theaters. But on paper, this is gonna work. It's Team Dark versus Dreamland. It's Dark Edge versus Pink Puff. It's Shadow the Hedgehog versus Kirby. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host and season 6 champion, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stakanis. In today's episode, we have a titanic collision between two iconic video game characters. In one corner, you have Shadow the Hedgehog, a brooding, genetically engineered anti-hero who wields chaos powers and intense speed. And in the other corner, you have Kirby, a cheerful, round-bodied pink creature whose boundless appetite and ability to copy foes' powers transform him into a versatile and heroic force. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And yeah, according to the internet, this particular matchup has been discussed quite a few times. But also, according to the internet, there has never been a clear-cut winner ever decided for this until today, that is. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I'm honestly a little bit surprised that people have talked about Shadow the Hedgehog versus Kirby. I really thought these are two characters who are roughly similar in power level, and I know what I'm saying on both sides of that equation when I am saying it. These two characters go real, real hard, and we're going to demonstrate that today. But I honestly thought Kirby would be more likely seen against characters, you know, like a Link or a Mario or even just a Sonic. I'm surprised people have gone down the depth chart, if you will, the same way that we do here on the Who Would Win show, to put this battle together. Now, I have a plan with this battle. The intro might have given it away. I need to get a win today to set up season 7 and get a little bit of heat back for the season 6 loss. Usually and often, but not always, it comes down to the final episode of the season. And maybe I just assumed because I was dealing with an alpha-level mutant last week in Iceman that there was no chance he was going to beat a mythical godlike creature like the Krampus. I can't imagine a judge who would do that. clearly not cut out for judge of the year. I'm going to tell you that right now. What happened to that judge? Anyway, the point I'm trying to make in all of this is where it starts. James's track record with video game characters is not very good, and there is a reason for that. I look forward to raising my hand in victory or dying trying.
Race to Canis. Look, Legion of Audience, it's been a busy week. As Season 6 champion, there are many responsibilities I have now. So many commitments, appearances, interviews to do, so many things I've got to, you know, keep up with that I almost forgot that we had another matchup for the season. And since Ray got to have so much input into, I don't know, today's choice of combatants, I decided to make a special request to the Who Would Win production team. Sorry, Ray. And I asked for kind of, I don't know, I'm using hashtags here, special judge. And it seems the production team said, okay,
what a shock.
So make, oh, I know, it's crazy. Make, it's the power of being Season 6 champion. It's just unprecedented. Making another appearance on the Who Would Win show. It's fan favorite judge. It's the only adult in the room, at least for this show. It's podcaster extraordinaire. Oh, yeah. It's Robert Clark Chan. Robert, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Why are you people bothering me? I'm still buying Christmas presents, all right? It's getting pretty close. Shipping is tight. Most of these things may make it here. If not, I'm going to have to explain to my kid that there is no Santa Claus. So can we make this quick?
Oh, you're very welcome for being asked back on the show. No need to thank us anymore, Robert Clark Chan. Look, before we get started, you know, you've been called the greatest tag team partner Stephen Hawking has ever had. You once threw a grenade that killed 50 people before it even exploded. And to make things even more incredible, you used a piano to play a violin. That's some insane upper body strength. You are truly a person without compare, Robert Clark Chan. So with that being said, please tell the Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, what you've been up to.
I mean, first off, you're welcome for the Grand Unified Theory. Second off, you were correct the first time. It is a piano that I was playing it with. It's actually a...
I'm hungry.
It's a cherry pie that's shaped like a piano. You know, you like open the top and... neither here nor there. I have... it's like everybody. Like everybody who's listening, when this thing drops, Christmas is coming. Everything's higgledy-piggledy. I got a sick kid on top of all that, so just trying to, like, manage life. Y'all been there. You've all been there.
How long has Ray been sick?
I mean, look.
Dare you.
It was weird when he came over and asked to be my child. What am I going to say? No? What am I going to say? No? I'm
look,
a giver.
Let me tell you. So, look, did I knock on Robert Clark Chan's door a couple of days ago at about 10:38 p.m.? Yes. Was I completely in my own mind when I did so? No. Was I wearing bunny footy pajamas and holding my Halloween orange pumpkin bucket from 2 months ago? Also, yes, I was. Did Robert Clark Chan allow me inside so I could spend the night and get right in the head? No, he did not. But he did give me a pillowcase. Not a pillow, a pillowcase. And allowed me to sleep on his front porch until I was ready to call an Uber the next day. And I feel good about it. Now, somewhere in there, did I maybe ask him if I could be his child? Again, probably. I don't really remember.
I went to college to get a degree in theater. You think that's the first time someone who was whacked out of their gourd showed up on my doorstep, 6'3", dressed as a giant pink bunny, asking to be my kid? Not by a long shot.
No, but you've done comedy at the Pack. I know I would rank somewhere as 8 or 9 down the list.
I so many comedy theaters, so many giant bunnies. That's what living in Hollywood's all about.
It's also what the holidays are all about.
I mean, it sounds like you're both living the dream right now.
For those of you who don't live in Los Angeles, it's pretty normal stuff, honestly.
This is really like, is. You think we're exaggerating for humor's sake. No, not really. Honestly, underselling a little bit, if I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, most comedy comes from the truth.
It does. It does. Look, Robert, you know, in case you didn't hear the beginning, I won Season 6. I'm the Season 6 champion. That's because I won Season 6. A lot of people have been reaching out to me since that magnificent win of Season 6, where I became the champion of said season, and said, are you going to take this next episode really, really seriously? And the answer is, hell yes, I am. It doesn't matter that I won Season 6 and I'm now the Season 6 champion. This last battle of Season 6, which I already won, is still as important to every other episode I won to get me to be champion.
Hold on. I just want to just be clear.
Yes.
You won season was it?
Go with season six, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, season six. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So I'm trying to say, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's this season that I won. So Robert Clark Chan, here's the deal. I need you to not be like, hey, I'm swayed by the champion of season six and be all intimidated or anything. Mm-hmm. I want you to be that same Robert Clark Chan that brought that insanity for Deathstroke versus the Care Bears, which somehow Deathstroke won, but didn't really, but yet did. Just be that Robert Clark Chan and don't be intimidated by the fact that I am the champion of season six, or be intimidated by how loud Ray yells, whatever it is. Just judge this down the line. Can you do that for us? Good, sir.
We discussed this back when we did Thunderdome just a few short minutes ago. You can find that on Patreon. I am not intimidated. I've only been intimidated by two people my entire life, and that's Gordon Ramsay and Amy Poehler. Neither of you guys can measure up to those two. I will say that it is my understanding that I am possibly up for Judge of the Year, because I'm a real good judge. But also, I kind of want to be on the list of worst judges of the year, too.
Oh, that's no concern, Robert Clark Chan. I wouldn't lose any sleep over that.
Yeah. I mean, here, look, I still get a little charge anytime somebody brings up the tea party of Punisher and the Care Bears.
No, Deathstroke and the Care Bears. Come on. Erica.
The what?
This is why Judge of the Year may not be a thing for you, Robert Clark Chan, but go ahead.
I don't know. I can't tell the difference. Both a bunch of guys with guns. Not impressed. Is he the one who was in the Nakatomi Plaza and was and threw Alan Rickman off the building? Is that the one we're talking about?
Somehow, yes.
Yeah. And what I'm saying, I'm the best. So none of y'all impress me whatsoever.
This tracks, Robert Clark Chan. Look, all of this sounds great, but we have to get to today's episode. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Sega, the hedgehog who might be dark and brooding, but deep down he wants to help others, the crow. I mean, Raven. I mean, Hellboy. No, wait, hold on. I mean, Batman. No, hold on. For real, I mean, Shadow the Hedgehog. And representing Nintendo, the only thing in existence to suck harder than the Cybertruck, Kirby.
Thanks for reminding me. I put a deposit on the Cybertruck a few years ago. I finally have my number called up. I'm wrapping that Cybertruck in Who Would Win banners and everything. The Cybertruck is going to become the Who Would Win mobile. It is going to be absolutely fantastic. Race to Canis is not allowed in the Cybertruck.
Ladies and gentlemen, and a related story, this is my final episode of the Who Would Win show.
I wouldn't worry about it because it's going to be less the Who Would Win mobile and more the Who Would Win sitting in the yard on blocks because it was cold one day mobile.
Oh my gosh.
Seeing a lot of love for Tesla. All right. Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win Show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Shadow.
Shadow the Hedgehog is a black hedgehog and a major character in the Sonic the Hedgehog universe, or SHU, if you will. He was created by Takashi Iizuka, Shiro Miyakawa, and Kazuyuki Hoshino, and first appeared in the Dreamcast classic Sonic Adventure 2 in 2001. Shadow will be featured in the new Sonic movie, of course, voiced by Keanu Reeves. Created by the grandfather of Dr. Robotnik, Shadow is a brooding anti-hero who wants to save humanity even though he doesn't much care for it. Revived from stasis by current-day Dr. Robotnik, it sure looks like this is going to be the plot of the new movie, too. By the way, Shadow originally worked against Sonic and his friends, but refound his inner humanity, or hedgehog-manity, and joined Team Sonic to save the world when possible. Shadow is everything Sonic is, but with a darker edge, and sometimes a gun. Fun fact, When one of the co-creators was asked if the other characters in fiction served as an inspiration for Shadow, he said yes. This immediately led folks to believe that Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z World was obviously going to be heavily leaned into as the, you know, emphasis for creation of Shadow the Hedgehog. However, his main creator, Iizuka, denied that Vegeta was the main character for this at all. He said Vegeta, not even in the picture. He said a different dark comic book character was his inspiration instead. And you know who that character was? Spawn. Yeah, that's right. No telling if future Shadow incarnations are going to adopt a long red cape and chains. But here's hoping he does, because that'd be pretty rad. And that is Shadow the Hedgehog.
That is interesting. I really thought Vegeta was the deal.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah, me crazy. Too.
All right, now here are the facts for Kirby. Kirby the Adorable Pink Puffball, created by Masahiro Sakurai at HAL Laboratory, debuted in the 1992 Game Boy classic Kirby's Dream Land, which delighted players ever since with his playful charm, bottomless appetite, and astonishing ability to inhale enemies and gain their powers, making him a pint-sized hero packed with big-hearted fun. He hails from the peaceful planet Popstar, where lush fields and candy-colored skies provide the perfect backdrop for his cheerful escapades. Whether joining forces with friends like Bandana Waddle Dee or facing off against rival characters like Meta Knight, Kirby remains eternally optimistic. His sweet, unassuming appearance belies a hidden might, allowing him to transform into a whirlwind of culinary chaos and copycat creativity. And here's an interesting fact about Kirby. Did you know that Kirby was actually supposed to have a completely different name? It's true. It's very easy to take a character's name for granted, but it's almost impossible to consider how different their success might be under a different moniker. Kirby seems like the perfect name for Nintendo's pink puffball mascot, but the platformer icon very nearly had a totally different title. Masahiro Sakurai's original idea for Kirby's name was, get this, Twinkle Popo. Not realizing this was also Ray Sicanus' middle name, Masahiro changed Twinkle Popo to Popopo, which then naturally became Kirby. Don't know how that works, but it did. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Robert, do you have any questions before we get started?
Not questions so much as statements. The correct term, Ray, is hedgehoggity.
Ah, thank
you. Not hedgehog manatee. I don't know how you, either you were being sexist or you were really into sea cows. Either way, it doesn't work. Kirby, on the other hand, would be his popoity. I don't know about that one. I'm going to work on it. I'll get back to you.
That's fair. And as I've always said, be careful when you're browsing or going through Race Kings' browsing.
You know,
history.
One time I knew a raven that had a lot of popoity.
I see what you did there. Wow. You know what I say to that? Nevermore.
Ooh, good one. All right, Ray Sicanus. I mean, this matchup has a lot of meaning. Not for me because I'm champion of season six, but although I still want the win, let's see what's going to happen. Hit us for your point number one.
Point number one for Shadow the Hedgehog. We're going to go a little bit different than you might expect for point number one. We're going to go with some of his strength and power and some of his moves. Normally, I would save this for point number two, but I really just want to kind of pop you right out the gate because let's face it. Kirby, despite his diminutive size, we'll get into that a little bit later, he is very, very strong. He normally doesn't seem that strong when he's going about his day-to-day activities, and then every so often he has one of these outlier moments that I know James is going to talk about. Keep in mind, Judge Robert Clark Chan, many of the biggest things that Kirby does are complete outliers and potentially happened in sort of a dreamlike world or state. If you had as much sugar as exists on the Kirby planet, you'd be in a perpetual sugar high as well. Just keep it in mind. Now, meanwhile, Shadow the Hedgehog, you know, he lives in a more relatively grounded world somehow of Sonic the Hedgehog, and he once deadlifted a bus with one hand and then casually tossed it away. He's ridiculously strong, and he's everyday strong. He's not just every so often in a cutscene strong. He's constantly displaying it. This is a guy who goes through his levels. He can spin really, really fast, and when he's in this sort of ball shape, has destroyed placed weapons, walls, doors, stones, pillars, whatever he needs to. And not only does he do it while rolling into them, he also does it with strikes. With just a couple of strikes, he could take out basically any kind of terrain around him. And then he could throw his body around like some sort of violent pinball game that shatters everything inside of it. He once used this spinning attack inside one of Eggman's airships and then ping-ponged around on the inside of this gigantic... You remember that big vessel that Ronan the Accuser was riding in? Or like an Imperial Star Destroyer? It was kind of like one of those things Well, he used his spinny ability, ping-ponged around the inside. You could see the damage being done as he was going through it, rocketed himself out into space, where he's fine. And then the ship blew up. I mean, that's exactly the kind. He's doing Captain Marvel attacks, and I'm here for it. He also has some of his in-game attacks, like the homing attack, which allows him to jump in the air, pick his target, and then go full force as hard as he can, doing full maximum speed damage, like an infinite mass speed dash, if you will, at his opponent. Now, he also has used this ability against Sonic, who was using the same ability the same way, and they just bounced off of each other. So as powerful as you think Sonic is, and he is, Shadow matches that power level all the time and can even exceed it occasionally when he needs to. He also can do, I said before, the spin dash move, where he turns into a ball and then propels himself forward. What's wild about this is that he can go into that form almost instantaneously and hit his top speed just as quickly, which means he doesn't have a lot of buildup. There's no 0 to 60 in 8.6 seconds like with my Prius. It's just, he just hits it and boom, he's going as fast as he wants to go almost instantaneously. But what really sets him apart from Sonic and other characters in his universe is he uses weapons. He's like a G.I. Joe character. He knows how to use all the weapons from all the sides. So we've seen him use Earth-based weapons, Dr. Robotnik's weapons and turrets, alien weapons that he would have no idea, in theory, how they work. He picks up a gun. He knows how to shoot a gun. He's used pistols, submachine guns, rocket launchers. Yeah, they really wanted this version of Sonic to have an edge about him. And a lot of people didn't like it. But enough did that he's still kicking it on the Who Would Win show. And a little bit of durability here. He once jumped up the height of a giant building, a skyscraper, if you will, and then dove straight down at the ground, hit the ground, and just kept going in a 90-degree direction forward. No damage from falling. In fact, I've never seen Sonic take damage from falling anywhere, which is a huge durability feat. And my favorite thing that ever happened, a character named Time Eater destroyed all of time and space, okay? In the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, all of space and time was destroyed, and all of Sonic's friends, or at least almost all of them, were essentially frozen in time. They couldn't move, they couldn't act, they were essentially nulled out of existence. While Sonic was running around that place, he runs into Shadow the Hedgehog, who was just hanging out there looking for something to do. So all of time and space was destroyed, and Shadow was still kicking and having a good time. That's how ridiculous he is. Whatever Kirby thinks he can do, Shadow is clearly ready for it. And that's my point number one.
All right. Shadow sounds awesome. You know, and this is the thing with video game characters, especially the upper tier ones. They really are just super interesting. But, you know, here's the deal. In terms of super strength, I like what everything he listed for Shadow. Here's the deal. Kirby is listed as having planetary level strength at a minimum, which means he can break a planet. That's his minimum level of strength. How that works, don't know, but that's a thing. Using weapons, I'm glad Shadow can do that because Kirby will have a way to deal with that. I'll talk about my point number one. And on top of that, Kirby's also got weapons as well that he's great with. And in terms of destroying time and space and all that kind of good stuff, yeah, Kirby destroys and beats up reality warpers that are multiversal in terms of power. This is not a really big feat or big deal in terms of what Kirby has taken on in the past. Now, let me get to my point number one for Kirby. And for my point number one, let's just talk about specific powers of Kirby that he can use against a character like Shadow. Now, of course, he's got these powers of inhalation and spitting things back out. Imagine Kirby is just this walking pink vacuum cleaner who can swallow up just about anything smaller than a fridge. Shadow tosses out a chaos spear, which is awesome. Not a big deal because Kirby just inhales it like it's a tasty snack, spits it right back as a high-speed projectile. If there are weak minions around, Kirby can literally make them into living ammo. It's like turning your opponent's attacks into your own little fireworks show. That's what Kirby can do with his inhalation spit powers. He's got his copy abilities. We've seen this a million times. This is where Kirby's adaptability, there you go, I said it, kind of really comes out and shines because, you know, he inhales a foe or some tasty power source. He absorbs their essence. And let's say Shadow's using a fancy elemental move, Kirby inhales that thing, and suddenly he's got fire to match fire, ice to counter speed, or even a long-range laser that says, hey, Shadow, guess who can blast you right back? It's like having a wardrobe of superpowers, picking out the perfect outfit for any occasion. All I'm saying here is anything that Shadow's going to do, I think Kirby can actually duplicate maybe even do better. He's got that fire ability. Kirby's got fire. He's basically a walking flamethrower. Picture him breathing a steady stream of scorching flames that force Shadow to dodge or wrist singe quills if he's got those. Kirby can also lay down fiery hazards too. Think of walls of flame or heated ground, and this will turn the battlefield into Shadow's personal hot foot dance floor. And again, if you kill that battlefield, this is really going to affect what Shadow can do offensively and defensively. He's got that ice ability. Kirby's ice powers can slick up the terrain faster than a Zamboni. Again, same thing with that fire ability. Shadow relies on speed, right? Well, imagine trying to run full tilt across a field of ice as a Canadian have done it before. It doesn't work that well. Kirby just grins, watches Shadow slip, slide, struggle to keep his balance. It's a perfect way to slow down the ultimate speedster in the form of like Shadow, take him down a few notches. He's got that spark ability where Kirby crackles electricity like a living Tesla coil, and any attempt at a rush attack is going to leave Shadow absolutely zapped by electricity. Plus, Kirby can send out lightning bolts from a safe distance, giving that range attack. Shadow just can't rely on his usual chaos-fueled up-close brawling because, again, Kirby can hit you from really far away with the spark ability. He's got stone ability. This is where he turns into a rock, and suddenly Shadow's big punches and kicks feel like gentle taps. Try to get underneath Kirby's heavy stone form, and Shadow risks this kind of cartoonish squish moment that I see happening. It's a great way to tank hits and then surprise Shadow by popping back into pink puffy mode. I'm not sure what that's called. It's called pink puffy mode. Of course, he's got this fighting ability. Look, you look at this, don't let that round body fool you. Kirby's got some real serious martial arts ability. Kirby's dishing out rapid fire punches, kicks, uppercuts that would make a world-class boxer jealous. I can tell he's agile enough to keep pace with Shadow's close range strikes, and he's got the skill. He's skilled enough to counter, you know, what Shadow's gonna be throwing blow for blow. This is crazy. Of course, he's got that ninja ability. He goes full on stealth mode. He can scale walls, fling throwing stars, strike from unexpected angles. Shadow's, of course, he's insanely fast, but even he's going to have trouble tracking a pink ninja darting around corners and vanishing in a puff of smoke. Actually, I don't know if that'll be a big deal. It's just kind of a fun thing to say. He's got that mirror ability. You know, you think Shadow's got this range advantage. Not really, because Kirby's rocking the mirror ability. He can bounce chaos-infused blasts right back at the source. It's like playing tennis, except the tennis ball explodes and Shadow's holding the losing racket. He's got that wheel ability. This is where, you know, Kirby turns into a rolling blur of pink fur. He's zipping across a battlefield at a speed that might even make Shadow do a double take. If Shadow tries to rely on outrunning Kirby, he's kind of in for a shock when Kirby barrels through at top speed, leaving the Hedgehog scrambling for a safe spot. Look, I'm not saying Kirby is faster than Shadow. I will say that Shadow will look at Kirby and for a split second not expect Kirby to move as fast as he can. That could be a huge advantage. Look, Kirby focuses on quick adaptation. This is the deal. He just absolutely continually changes abilities mid-battle, and this is going to keep Shadow guessing off and on, and he'll be totally off balance, and this will just never give him a predictable target when he's going after Kirby. All of that is my point number one.
Okay, a couple of things to talk about here. First off, icing the ground isn't going to do a lot against Shadow the Hedgehog. Many times, he's barely touching the ground as he's gliding past it with some of his equipment, which I'll get into in my point number two. But really damaging the ground, and he's had ice issues before. Not issues. He has had issues. He's had ice levels before and did not have issues with them. The other thing is, you talk about this myriad of abilities with Kirby. Kirby can only have one special ability at a time. He's not like Mega Man, who can bank them and then pull them out when he needs to, level by level. It's really a momentary thing where he inhales something, he gets the ability that he gets from him, and then he loses his inhale power until he spits that person out and loses their ability to grab the next one. Another thought, where are all these abilities coming from, James? He can't bank them. He can only have one at a time. If there's no outside interference, there's not just people with random pyro abilities or whatever just hanging around for Kirby to inhale. Where are these powers coming from?
Excellent points, Ray Cicadas. I'll get into all these answers from point number two and point number three, but let's check in with our judge, Robert Clark Chan. You've heard one point from both myself and Ray Cicadas. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Obviously, we're not very far into this because Ray's round one is he can go kind of fast and he can hit things. Like basically, I got the impression that he's a street level superhero, which is fine.
He picked up a bus with one hand.
That sounds street level to me.
What streets are you walking
buses?
On?
I feel where do you like find buses on streets? Continue. This
sounds Spider-Man-y. Maybe a little more than Spider-Man. But still, James said that Kirby has planetary level strength. Didn't back it up at all.
Nope.
But that set my expectations pretty high. So either, James, you do back that up because you said something about how you didn't know how this planetary level strength worked. You'd better tell me, otherwise you're going to get docked pretty hard for that. Kirby seems to have a lot of powers. It seems like he has, more adaptability than Shadow, but also he can only do it one at a time, and he's, you know, like, sucking up a baddie and then gaining that power. It seems like he may be able to inhale one of Shadow's powers. Like, if he shoots at him, he'll be able to suck that in and get that power. That seems a little unclear. Gonna need that cleared up. Basically, both of these are pretty low level and obviously got more coming. So no winner as of yet. See how it goes.
We'll see how this goes. All right, Robert Clark Chan chiming in. This battle is going to get insane. Trust me on this. Stay tuned for point number two.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Ray, hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Shadow the Hedgehog. Now I want to talk about some of his speed, because he really sets himself apart from other characters in video games, aside from the ones in Sonic, because of his powerful speed. He has the speed to keep up with Sonic. Now, Sonic the Hedgehog can go at light speed, as we all know. I think he's been clocked, 186,000 miles a minute, an hour? I don't know how math works. But Sonic the Hedgehog can approach and even reach light speed. Shadow the Hedgehog can't quite run as fast as Sonic long term, but in shorter distances with his enhancements, he has been known to be a little bit faster. But basically, they're both around the same level of ridiculous speed. And this speed can take many different things. I've seen him before fire off a rocket, like a giant missile, and then run to the missile, grab the missile, and then ride it like a horse or Dr. Strangelove riding a bomb, and then just take it wherever he's going and then get off of it before it hits the thing and blows it up, allowing him for a very quick counterattack. He's moved so fast against somebody who literally pulled a gun on him and pulled the trigger. A bullet was in the air. And during all of this, Shadow moved so fast that it looked like he teleported behind the guy and took him out before the bullet even had a chance to get to where Shadow was standing. Ridiculous. He also fought a character named the Bio Lizard and dodged black matter bolts that were being fired at him, dodged all around him in order to get to the parts where he needed to hit him, and then won that battle as well. And it's not just speed with Shadow, because he has deep control over his speed. He's one of the speedsters who absolutely can stop on a dime. This is a guy who can run full speed, you know, approaching, if not equaling, light speed, and then go 90 degrees like a Tron turn, and right on a dime, immediately change his direction, which means also he's going to think a lot faster than Kirby as well, because his brain's going to process information a heck of a lot faster. So Kirby might have all of these attacks, but I don't see how Shadow doesn't have the speed and the reflexes, quite honestly, to get out of them and avoid getting hit by any of them. Often, Shadow the Hedgehog in his games faces what we in video game circles call bullet hell scenarios. And that's where the entire screen is surrounded by projectiles, and you just wouldn't be able to get yourself through it until you learn the patterns. But in the ways of actual fighting, what that means is that he essentially slows down time around him because he is going so fast. Think of that, time in a bottle, Quicksilver scene from that X-Men movie. That's how Shadow the Hedgehog potentially sees the world, and he's able to dodge between all of the different bullets and projectiles, not getting hit by any of them, even when it's basically like dodging between the raindrops. He's fought off some very impressive final characters. I'm just going to name them because it would take too long to explain them, and you probably don't know who they are, but Final Hazard, Devil Doom, Solaris. These are big boppers in the Sonic the Hedgehog universe. He can also run and stick to walls, going right straight up the wall at 90 degrees or straight down the wall at 90 degrees. So again, the laws of physics don't really apply. He's moving so fast, he essentially sort of just like hovers near the ground as opposed to touching it. So a little bit of ice is not going to trip him up. Finally, some things. He wears hover shoes. He has special enhanced shoes, which allow him, and hover shoes basically are like little rockets, like Iron Man kind of rockets on the bottom, which allows him to temporarily fly when he needs to, but also enhances his speed that much more because he knows how to use them with his natural talents and go even faster and push his limits even further. The last thing to talk about here is he has a Super Saiyan form. He could power up and turn gold and become Super Shadow the Hedgehog. That is an ascended form that he can go to. He doesn't need any tricks. He doesn't need to get like Hulk up or anything like that. He did at first, but in later incarnations, he just imbued the power to himself, or, you know, he got it. So he can just go to Super Shadow form whenever he feels that he needs to. So if Kirby is pushing him, he can ascend his form. And when in Super Shadow form, much like a Super Saiyan, he becomes completely invulnerable to damage. He has full power of flight, and he can go even faster than he could go in regular form. At the end of the day, he's going to hit you just too fast, too hard, and he's not going to leave you a chance to get hit himself. Shadow wins this battle.
All right, so some interesting stuff with Shadow. Now, first of all, you're just kind of describing Shadow has this high level of super speed, and he has the really cool but yet typical stuff a speedster can do. That's awesome. That's also a lot of stuff that Kirby's already seen and dealt with in his games. He deals with a lot of characters that move at insane speeds. He's done it as well, so I don't think he's going to be caught by surprise based off these typical things that Shadow can do at this super speed, as impressive as it is. Now, Ray also said he can temporarily fly using hover shoes. That's cool. It's a temporary thing. But he does, in fact, have to touch the ground when he's running, even going at this super speed, whatever you want to call it. He is touching the ground. He's pushing off the ground. He's running up a wall. What is he doing? He's pushing off the wall as he runs up. Really cool stuff, but still touching the ground. So being ground being frozen over or fire, whatever, that's definitely going to affect his running ability. And on top of that, that Super Saiyan form you mentioned for Shadow, I love it. I love it whenever there's an ascended form. But just like Goku and Dragon, especially the beginning parts, Goku going Super Saiyan, that won't always last as long as you think it will. It's a temporary thing. It's a great power up for a very short period of time. Now, let me get to my point number two. Let's discuss Kirby's weapons. But before we do that, to answer Robert Clark Chan, in terms of his base level strength, there was a cool thing. I think Kirby was smiling and said the word Poyo just as he cracked an entire planet in half with one single punch. I believe that happened in Kirby's Superstar, and that's nowhere near his most powerful form. So that's his planetary strength, punching a planet in half, or cracking it in half with one punch. Now, in terms of his weapons, we all know that Kirby's got some insane powers, but he's got some great weapons and tools at his disposal. There's his sword, for example. Picture Kirby wielding that blade that's about half his size. He might look adorable, but he swings that sword really with surprising skill and speed. If Shadow tries to rely on sheer speed alone, Kirby's sword can slice through the air so rapidly, it's like a pink blur meeting a black blur in a dance of steel. I just love being poetic like that. Whether slashing through a line of enemies or deflecting incoming attacks, that sword ability Kirby has immediately transforms Kirby from cuddly to confidently cutting. And I'm a poet. Yeah, I'll just say it. Now, he's got that warp star. Now, imagine a star-shaped rocket that Kirby can hop onto whenever he needs to zip around the battlefield or even between worlds. The warp star isn't just transportation, by the way. It's like Kirby's personal roller coaster ship that's blazing across the sky at ridiculous speeds. If Shadow's trying to bolt away or teleport to a better vantage point, Kirby can hop on that warp star and streak after him, leaving a glittering trail. It's interstellar tag, and Kirby's going to have the winning ride with that warp star. He's got parasol ability. You ever think of an umbrella as a deadly weapon? Because Kirby does. With that parasol, I guess he can float gently above Shadow Strikes. He can defend against falling debris, whack that hedgehog when he least expects it. Plus, the parasol doubles as a shield against projectiles, and it lets Kirby drift slowly onto Shadow's head for a gentle yet strategic landing. It's part elegance, part how did that umbrella hurt me so much? Here's the deal. Do I think that is a weapon and gently floating down in Shadow's a thing? No, but it definitely helps him stay stronger in the defense department against Shadow's weapons and abilities. He's got that cutter ability. This was really cool to me. Imagine Kirby tossing out crescent-shaped blades that boomerang back to him, and these cutters force Shadow to keep bobbing, weaving, and burning precious chaos energy just to stay untouched. It's a game of keep away that tires out anyone who relies on pure speed like a Shadow. Now, with careful aim, Kirby can pin Shadow into a corner, making sure the Hedgehog thinks twice before rushing in again. This could be a thing. He's also got bomb ability. With bombs in hand, Kirby turns into the arena, into the strategic minefield, and that's going to direct Shadow exactly to where Kirby wants him. He can lob explosive surprises that detonate after a short fuse. He can turn safe zones into danger zones. Shadow's got to pick his path really carefully when he's fighting him and he's using these bombs, or he's going to risk walking into a fiery blast. It's really cool. It's all about mixing up the tempo, and that's something that Kirby does really, really well. With what he does. Now, in terms of this ascended form that Shadow has, well, Kirby has one too. It's called Hypernova. Again, it's when Kirby goes Super Saiyan. And when Kirby taps into Hypernova, it's like someone supercharged his inhale ability 100 times over. Suddenly, he's sucking up entire trees, massive chunks of landscape, and enemies that seemed way too big or fast just moments before. Again, Shadow, that level of power is going to mean that Kirby can yank obstacles right out of the ground, hurl them around, create absolute chaos. It's a showstopper move, a pink tornado of doom that says, you think you're fast? Really? Try out running half a forest being thrown at you, you know, at any one time. It's going to be crazy. Look, as impressive as Kirby's base form is, he's insanely more powerful with his weapons and his ability to go hypernova. And this is something that Shadow will look at Kirby and have no idea that this is coming his way. All of that is my point number two.
James, I think you just led to your own defeat, or at least put yourself way behind with that last point right there. I'll get to that in a point. First off, the planet busting. The planet busting in the Kirby games is typically found in mini-games. Mini-games, as in things that are not necessarily canon to the world we're in. They're little fun escapades on the side, and the cracking of the planet is done for comedic effect, because you'll notice that after he destroys the planet he's on, he goes right, and the mini-game, he goes right back to being on that planet again, not cracked in half. Easy. Also, Kirby loses these abilities often if he uses them too much, or if he takes damage. So if Shadow could just ping him a couple of times, you know, at light speed, he's not going to be able to retain any of these powers. Also, if Kirby inhales for extended periods of time, he become exhausted, resulting in panting, resulting in him essentially being stunned for a moment and open to damage. That's important. Why? Because you just brought up Hypernova. Hypernova is his Super Saiyan form that can only be obtained by inhaling and eating the Miracle Fruit. Now, Miracle Fruit is something found in the Kirby games. Is it something that's just going to be found anywhere here? One of the things that's wild about Miracle Fruit is that it allows him to inhale creatures that are bigger than what he can normally inhale, meaning that when he is not in his Super Saiyan form, he is limited on his upper level as to what or who he can inhale. Remember that for my final rebuttal.
Wonder if he did inhale. All right, this is good stuff. I love this battle so far, but we are at the turning point. Robert, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points for both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
I'm tempted to disqualify you immediately just because you made a Bill Clinton, did he inhale joke in the year of our Lord, 2024.
I was going to let it pass, but I'm glad you didn't.
No, I
cannot. That was
cannot.
All the rage in Canada, by the way.
Constitutionally, I am unable to do so. This is all, honestly, the second round. A little bit bored by it. Shadow's fast. I got that. Kirby's got weapons. Yeah, but so does Shadow. I don't really see either of these sides advanced, although I did notice that you called the Hypernova form Super Sucker, and that is a fantastic band from Arizona. Should definitely check out the Super Suckers. Great stuff. In general, it is good that they both have super-powered forms. This all seems fairly equal. We get that Shadow's super fast and a badass. I swear to God, Ray, if you bring out he's willing to go there, you're gone. You're
I know
toast.
Better than to do
I
that with
will
you.
Eliminate you immediately. But the thing I really don't know about is Kirby's inhale power, because it certainly seems like he needs things to inhale to gain these powers. It doesn't seem like Shadow has anything innate in and of his own particular powers or loadout that Kirby would be able to inhale. He's probably going to have some things in the battlefield because it's got to be an even playing field. So I guess what it comes down to is right now I feel like Kirby's behind only because I don't fully grasp what these inhale powers can do. If, James, you can show me that there's something pretty readily available that it can inhale to take out Shadow, I mean, that's what I'm going to have to hear to be able to take him to take Shadow down.
Interesting stuff. Let me see if I've got that on my point number three. I think I do, but Robert's Carter Chan is going to be the judge of that. This battle's heating up. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Ray, this is it. It's all on the line. Let's see what you got. Hit us for your point number three.
Point number three for Shadow of the Hedgehog. Let's just bring up some of the big feats right here. Because one thing, Shadow the Hedgehog does not age. There's a Sonic game where they went to the far future and Shadow was still hanging out. He was still a being there. Still the same guy, still doing a thing, which means that he is like a Highlander, potentially at the end of the day. I don't know. I've never seen his head get cut off before, but he will not age and he will live forever. We've seen him do some incredible durability feats. One of the things I saw was Shadow got shot out of a cannon, fired into a tower that Eggman had built, Dr. Robotnik, and he himself was not hurt. But as a human cannonball or a hedgehog cannonball, he destroyed the entire tower. You can use him as a projectile and he is fine. He did my favorite feat. You know I'm going to say it. He fell from space down to the earth and he was fine. In fact, he just got up and just kept running right away. As I said before, I don't think he could take fall damage. Seeing when he fell from space to earth, if my guy does it, I'll let you know every single time. That's the almighty Ray guaranteed. Anyway, he's done some weird things too. Like one time in one of the games, he was dealing with a computer. And he was getting frustrated, so he karate chopped his keyboard, which opened a portal to the cyber world where they all went inside and dealt with the computer from the inside like it was like one of those 1990s hackers movies. Delightful cinema, for the record. Now, he also has access to something called the Chaos Emeralds, which they're not unlike Infinity Stones, but this is sort of what his whole deal is. He's going after Chaos Emeralds. He has Chaos Emeralds. If he can amass 7 of them, he could become this godlike being. We're going to assume for the sake of this argument, he doesn't have 7 of them and ascend to godhood. But we are going to assume that he has at least 1 of them, because that's not unnormal for his character. Well, with 1 Chaos Emerald, he can manipulate time and space itself. This allows him to teleport himself wherever he wants to go, teleport other people wherever he wants them to go, which doesn't just include like places on the earth. We're talking about other dimensions. He once returned people to their home dimension. It's like a thank you to them at the end of one of his adventures. Awesome. He can also stop time for anyone that he wants. Person he's fighting, he can stop time. Does he want to stop everything else in the entire universe except for 1 or 2 other people so he can do something with them or have a conversation with them? Yes, he has done that as well, but that also allows him his Chaos Spear, which is like a physical spear, but it makes a big blast of energy. It's pretty powerful too. It can stop Sonic right in his tracks, as well as the Chaos Blast, which are just energy blasts, but it just shows you he's got more projectile attacks than just a gun at the end of the day. And he has a Chaos Snap, which I thought was pretty cool. Since he has a Super Saiyan form, he can fight like a Dragon Ball Z fighter. You know when they like fight a guy and they go punch, 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 big punch, and then the guy flies up in the air? And then, like, Goku seems to teleport onto that person's back and then hammer them and they go right back down again. That's what this power does. It allows him to battle teleport into people from behind, from any angle he wants, and hit them real, real hard because he hit max speed without much distance. The true master of the 2-inch Bruce Lee punch, quite honestly. And this allows him to just ping-pong somebody around and embed them into the earth. At the end of the day, we've seen Kirby in his games get hit by apples and die before. So Kirby's great. Kirby can do a lot of very powerful things. In a dreamlike world or minigames, he can do extraordinary things. But you got to grain of salt those, in my opinion. But we also have seen Kirby get hit by not very much and go down as well. So at the end of the day, I just think Shadow has too many tricks that he doesn't need other things environmentally around him in order to do like Kirby does. All of these things are just innate, natural things that Shadow can do. He doesn't need all this help. And because of the fact that he doesn't need all this help environmentally, it means that you should be able to postulate he should win this fight. And that's my point number three.
All right, I got to push back on a couple of things. First of all, Kirby, especially in the later video games, typically exists outside of time and space and operates in other dimensions and multiverses and transverses throughout all of them. You know, other dimensional stuff, whatever. This is where Kirby is. This is why he's one of those powerful characters in all the video game culture, if you will, because he just gets ridiculously strong. His opponents get ridiculously stronger, and he just one-ups them. It's just this continuous thing up there. But he's just so much fun to play that's why he's still around. On top of that, his Warp Star, Kirby's Warp Star, is, amongst many other reasons, is going to be the main thing that's going to avoid having Kirby be hit by Shadow and this really cool teleportation type of battle attack where he kind of goes up and appears behind someone. That warp star is going to get him out of the way very, very fast. It's done that a million times before and keeps Kirby really safe. And how dare you bring Bruce Lee in and just not represent him whatsoever. He's not known for his 2-inch punch. He's got the 1-inch punch. He's got a 6-inch punch. And believe it or not, because I'm a Bruce Lee, you know, fanatic, he even had the 0-inch punch. The 2-inch punch, not a thing, Race to Canis. Just rep Bruce Lee properly. We should rep Bruce Lee.
No, because Shadow the Hedgehog does it.
Right, but you said Bruce Lee. He did a Bruce Lee 2-inch punch. All right, let me get to my point number 3.
What happens between 6 inches and 0 inches in a punch? Other than it, at some point, it's 2 inches away. I accept your apology.
Back to the episode. All right, for my point number 3, let's talk about Kirby's biggest wins, Shadow's weaknesses, and how Kirby gets the victory. Now, in terms of big wins, Kirby has quite a few because he's awesome. He beat a character named Marks by literally sending him into a star. When you can send someone to a star, you're insanely powerful. Marks gained what was called ultimate power, where Kirby then fought him in an epic battle across space, eventually sending him into a crashing, sending him crashing into a star. It was awesome. He beat a character named Magalore, did that twice. That was a wizard who turns into a godlike entity. Kirby destroys Magalore in his monstrous crown enhanced form and then obliterates his soul when Magalore comes back for revenge and Kirby's return to Dreamland. Kirby's destroying people's souls, ladies and gentlemen. That's a thing. He beat a character named Queen Sectonia, a vain insectoid empress who wants to dominate the universe with her mirror-based powers. This is crazy. In Kirby Triple Deluxe, Kirby defeats her by using the Hypernova ability and essentially turns himself into a walking black hole. That's what happens when he uses Hypernova. His inhale ability goes so crazy strong, he becomes a walking black hole. He beat Void Termina, a great wrestling name, by the way, an all-powerful godlike being who embodies the chaotic origins of the Kirby universe. That's right, chaotic magic fueling this thing. And Void Termina was beaten by Kirby. And you know why this is awesome? Because Void Termina is literally the source of creation and destruction, making this Kirby's most cosmic level victory. Kirby saves existence itself like it's just another day at the office by destroying a character who's fueled by chaos type of energy and magic. He beat a character named Fecto Elphilus, which is weird, as a creature of crazy power who seeks to fuse dimensions and dominate reality. That's pretty powerful if you put it all together. He beat down Galacta Knight, a time-traveling ultimate warrior type who's said to be amongst the strongest beings in the galaxy. And Kirby defeats Galacta Knight in a one-on-one duel, showing how badass of a fighter Kirby really is. And then there's Shadow's weaknesses Kirby can exploit. Now, Shadow said, Ray, you said before, Shadow's got a reliance on chaos energy, and Shadow's chaos control, his chaos spears, they rely on tapping into chaos emeralds. And Kirby's faced many opponents, I just mentioned, who depended on magical or elemental sources of chaos before. And we've seen how Kirby can inhale or simply just, I don't know, disrupt maybe or dodge these magical attacks until Shadow's energy is spent if Shadow tries it. Or what if Kirby inhales these chaos attacks like he did before and then copies them or becomes even more powerful, goes hypernova and, you know, becomes like a walking black hole? See, that's the thing. By timing his inhale to catch Shadow off guard, as, I don't know, he rushes in with chaos-powered speed or attacks, whatever, Kirby can absorb and neutralize Shadow's, I don't know, his momentum, I guess, his powers, his magic, his energy, before spitting him out with enough force to decisively knock him out of the fight or just use that energy against him or make him power up to hypernova. Now, Shadow also has some emotional turmoil and identity struggles. He's angsty, to say the least. He's got a conflicted nature. This makes him really rash at times, and Kirby's calm confidence, he's always cheerful. He's got this cheerful spirit. This is just going to frustrate, you know, Shadow insanely, which makes Shadow get sloppy and just, you know, kind of fight out of sorts a little bit. This is going to psychologically go to Kirby. Also, and a really weird thing, Shadow's got some limited defensive options. Look, a great defense is an amazing offense or somewhere along those lines. And Shadow's really great with the offense. When it comes to defense, it's really lacking compared to what he can do offensively. And that's something Kirby can take advantage of. Look, Kirby's experience and Shadow's weaknesses give Kirby the edge. Let me explain it. So Kirby can match speed with transformation of Shadow, and Kirby's fought foes who outran him before, but by copying the abilities like Wheel or I guess something called Jet, he can zoom around, he can use his Warp Star and kind of catch people because he'll be surprisingly fast. Not faster, just surprisingly fast to Shadow, who won't be expecting it. He can counter the chaos attacks and counter the chaos energy with copy abilities. I mentioned this before. Shadow's going to fire off chaos spears or chaos attacks. Kirby's just going to inhale projectiles, inhale the attacks, copy them, and turn Shadow's best attacks back against him. this is just going to be a cool chaos fuel blast right back. And he's also got psychological warfare through positivity. Again, Shadow's kind of this anti-hero spawn-like character, always down, whatever. And Kirby's just like this happy-go-lucky, hey, this me, it's Kirby, I'll help save the universe, the multiverse, every dimension, time itself, because that's what I do. Look, here's the bottom line. With the past victories Kirby has over, I don't know, cosmic gods, mechanical titans, countless bizarre foes that are all reality warpers or godlike beings, plus Kirby's infinite well of copy abilities, Kirby really does have everything he needs to kind of outlast Shadow and outmaneuver Shadow and outdo Shadow. And with his inhale abilities, taking that chaos magic would then further just makes him be able to shoot it back or turn hypernova. It's pretty clear Kirby wins this fight. All of that is my point number three.
Okay, I got a lot to talk about right here, and I got a lot, so I'm going to talk real fast. Chan, try to keep up, please. Cheerful characters are going to put down Shadow the Hedgehog. He hangs out with Sonic and Tails. Sonic eats chili dogs and is sassy. These are two of the most jolly characters you're ever going to find, and he doesn't have a problem with that. And you said Kirby's going to be surprisingly fast to Shadow. Compared to what? If you're going at light speed, can you even perceive the distance? Can you even perceive the difference between somebody running 20 miles an hour and somebody running 150 miles an hour? It is to an ant, to a human, is what I am to you, as somebody once said in a thing. Also, and this is where I'm going to bring it home, okay? Listen, as I said before, Shadow the Hedgehog can breathe in space and he can fly. If we even take Kirby and his planet-busting power, Kirby wins those because he busts the planet and his opponent can't deal with that. Shadow the Hedgehog is a bad matchup because if Kirby busts the planet, Kirby's going to be in trouble without a planet to stand on, but Shadow can fly around not needing to breathe. Last I checked, Kirby inhales things and needs to breathe. If the planet is busted, Shadow wins, okay? And Kirby sometimes forgets about fighting and prioritizes food, so he might just get distracted, like me doing anything at all, and start eating something instead of putting in a fight, putting him in a bad situation. Last thing to talk about, Kirby is only 8 inches tall. It took me this long to mention it. Look, Shadow's only 3'3", but Kirby's only 8 inches tall, and unless he has the miracle fruit to put himself in hypernova, he cannot inhale things as large as Shadow the Hedgehog without that assist that happens to need to be there. And a victory condition I thought of that I think makes a lot of sense. Kirby goes for an inhale attack, but Shadow is too big. Kirby starts getting a little bit like worked up. He starts panting. He starts losing it. But right at the last second, Shadow the Hedgehog summons a portal to another dimension, which Kirby then inhales. The portal gets inside of him, which causes him to implode into nothingness as his insides to the outsides are sucked through the portal, making Kirby go away, battlefield removal or worse. Shadow's got this.
Interesting stuff. I don't know about everything you're saying, but it's not up to me. It's up to our judge, Robert Clark Chan. Robert, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision, but before we get to what Ray has to say, let's celebrate the Hoodwin Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Hoodwin Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
We got one of our favorite patrons. He's been with us a long time. Stephen Haggith, today is your day.
Ooh, Stephen Haggith. You know, I've always wondered how we'd do against multiple opponents. Let's go old school. Let's have Stephen Haggith go up against all of the classic arcade game characters I'm talking about, Space Invaders.
The Space Invaders. Now, that's wild, because if an alien invasion did happen, Stephen Haggith is exactly the guy that I would want to have, because one of the things that you don't know about Stephen is he has the powers of a true Scotsman. Have you heard that expression, you know, no true Scotsman would do X, Y, and Z? It's a bad fallacy argument. Well, Stephen Haggith has the powers. I don't know if he is a Scotsman, but he has the powers of the true Scotsman. And what does that mean? It means he's got eternal rage. It means that he has imperviousness to cold. It means that he has a giant axe. We're talking anime-sized axe that he goes after him with. So when the Space Invaders show up, he's going to immediately notice their pattern, and he's going to see him, at which point he's going to rip his shirt off. That's right. He's going to go full Berserker Conan the Barbarian mode. And then he's going to jump into the sky with his gigantic 15-foot Astaroth from Soul Calibur style axe. And he is going to start waylaying them. And the problem is, as he hangs in the air, they keep going in a noticeable and discernible pattern, one after another, through his axe. All he basically has to do is hold the axe there. And then they go faster and faster and faster, and he cuts through all of them. cuts through all of them. Now, unfortunately, Steven cuts the centipede into too many pieces, but that's a different battle. And that's not what we're talking about today. Steven, you beat with your powers of a true Scotsman. You have defeated the space invaders and you have saved the planet. Thank you for your service.
Wow, well done, Stephen Haggith. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Robert, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us the story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Shadow and Kirby.
Okay, yeah, here's the thing. There's a lot of equivalence here. The Warp Star versus the Battle Teleport. I mean, that's a straight-up wash. They both do roughly the same thing, and they both have basically equal access to it. They both seem really heavily involved with chaos energy, which makes sense. Like Kirby's a much cartoonier character, but Shadow lives in the cartooniest Sonic universe imaginable. I thought it was interesting. I thought there might be something here when James brought up that the demeanor, the psychology of Shadow's angsty, and is he going to be able to deal with the cheerfulness of Kirby's psychological warfare through positivity? I thought that was a real strong point, and Ray immediately countered it with the fact that Shadow hangs out with Sonic and Tails, and look, I didn't play a lot of Sonic games, but as the father of a young child who's in the Sonic zone right now, I'm watching a lot of Sonic cartoons. I honestly would really rather not. So I get what it's like hanging around with these characters. And, whoo boy, I think he's probably toughened up to that. So that's all real equivalent. Yeah, that whole business about cracking the world in half, minigames, and, you know, like, not quite canon feats, boo. Also, because if you had a Superman versus a, you know, a cyborg, you know, or whatever, like, Kirby would be way too freaking powerful, and this wouldn't even be a battle. I think that Kirby scales, and that's going to be important. Just real quickly, Ray trying to pull off an infinite mass speed dash. Boo. I believe James tried to pull some real ultimate power nonsense. I was there in the early 2000s. I remember those ninjas. They're not a threat. James also mentioned that Shadow has really great offense, but lacked defense. That's a great throwaway line. If you'd followed up on it, I would say that, boom, you won this match. But you didn't, which is a shame. So what we end up with is, I think, a situation where Chaos Emeralds are in play. There's seven of them, so it sounds like they're just straight up ripping off Dragon Ball. That's fine. I don't mind that. Shadow's got Chaos Emeralds, and if he brings those into play to do some of his special stuff, Kirby has access to that, and he can also swallow them. So I think we're on an equal level. I think if you took the all the Chaos Emeralds away and just looked at Shadow just as Shadow versus Kirby in some sort of gladiatorial arena where all is just surrounded by sand, Shadow's going to beat him. He's going to straight up beat him because Kirby doesn't have any, as you say, ammunition. I'm going to have to discount the 8-inch thing versus Shadow being 3'3" because Kirby is involved in so much stuff that doesn't make sense at 8 inches. So he must also, again, sort of scale up to whatever level of combatant he's fighting. Otherwise, he's just sucking on toes, and that's like a weird Quentin Tarantino thing that I don't want to have to get into. You've got the idea of Shadow opening a portal. It apparently came when he karate chopped a keyboard, which sounds a little suspect to me. I don't know if I want to bring that in, but James also brought up the vision of Kirby as a walking black hole. So I think that a portal being thrown into Kirby as he sucks it down isn't going to delete him, would probably just make him more powerful. So I don't know that that is going to work for him. I think you've got all the emeralds in play. Shadow is at his max power. He's, I don't recall what you called the Super Saiyan form of him, but he's big. He's got his super shadow form. Kirby's in his hypernova form, and it's speed versus inhalation. And Kirby is used to fighting these monsters with huge offensive powers. And Shadow is used to flinging those things at his opponent. And I am going to refer to the greatest movie of all time. As we all know, it is Quokkas are involved in this. Best movie of all time, 1984, Dune. I Must Bend Like a Reed in the Wind. I think Shadow gives it everything he's got. And Kirby absorbs it. He swallows him. He spits him out after 2 minutes and 1 second. Shadow's still standing, but Kirby has put him away for the time necessary to beat him in a Who Would Win match. Kirby beats Shadow.
And there you have it. Season 6 champion. And with a little cherry on top, I get the victory in a video game character versus video game character matchup designed by Ray Stekanis himself. Could this season get any better? It can't, because it was just absolutely fantastic with an amazing decision by an equally amazing judge, Robert Clark Chan. I am beside myself. I can't believe what's happening right here. More endorsements are floating in right now, just flowing in, I should say. But before we talk about any of that kind of stuff, let's kind of go see what's up with Ray Stekanis. Ray, you did a great job with Shadow. I was on the ropes a whole bunch during this matchup. Again, you came up a little short, but you should not be embarrassed or, you know, upset or even embarrassed by how you did. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you're feeling right now.
This is the worst moment of my entire life, quite honestly. I don't know what is going on in the mind of one Robert Clark the Chan. I am confused over some of the points that were made. I understand giving them both height of their powers, and that's a common thing a lot of judges do. Both of them get power-ups. We're not going to argue whether they can attain them. Let's say they can both, quote-unquote, go there. Our judge went for the they both go there argument, which should be disbarment, as far as I'm concerned. Now, that being said, the whole idea, and I set it up earlier when Shadow hits the ping pong form, goes inside the ship and blows it up like Captain Marvel. You're supposed to extrapolate. If Kirby tried to inhale him, he'd bounce around inside Kirby and blow him out from the inside with his massive levels of power, more powerful than anything he's ever tried. He inhales scrub characters. He doesn't inhale bosses. He doesn't inhale boss monsters, Robert Clark.
You
Chan.
Couldn't
and
even
this is
give
a
me,
boss battle here.
You couldn't even give me a clear what kind of ship it was. You're like, I don't know, it's like a Star Destroyer or a Millennium Falcon or it's like anywhere in between. I don't recall
I didn't say
ever
Millennium.
Seeing.
It was a star. I settled on Star Destroyer because it was that big. It was huge.
I've never seen Kirby exploded from inside. If you had
never fought Shadow before,
if you've given me an example of Kirby doing that and of dying from just being like a xenomorph was inside him, then yeah, I probably would have had to give it to you, but you didn't, so I didn't.
Absolutely outrageous. I am curious what the fine people on patreon.com/whowouldwinshow will have to say about this in the next poll, because I feel like this is potentially teetering on Care Bears Part 2.
I mean, they're going to be too busy looking at the stuff that we had to cut out of this episode.
Don't worry about that.
Because it was too salty.
Oh,
too non-family Ooh. Friendly.
Wow. Okay. This was another fun fight despite all of those references. And again, what a great way to top off season 6 that I'm the champion of because I won. But again, this was a battle. And you know, Ray Cicada suggested this to the production team and just said, hey, let's just do a video game character versus video game character. Before I could say no, all of the judges were like, oh, that's great. This is perfect. And there's a movie coming out and this is fantastic. And then I had to make a phone call to Robert Clark Chan, because if I have no influence in the match, at least maybe I could bring some sanity in the form of a great judge. Luckily, it all worked out. This was absolutely fantastic. Robert, please come back on the show many, many, many more times. We'll see if that happens or not. But until that day happens, please tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Hey, there's a fun podcast you should check out called Knowing's Half the Podcast. Also, if you're into pro wrestling, there's a podcast called AE Doubleback that you might enjoy. Both include me, so take that for what it's worth.
I highly recommend both those podcasts. All right, Race to Canis, again, great job on season 6. We had our highs. We actually had no lows. It was absolutely fantastic. I got the win. That's only because you won 3 seasons previously. We're all tied up. This is just a great place to start off or finish off, I should say, season 6. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
I would argue that there were about 27 lows this season on the Who Would Win show, and I think you could extrapolate what I mean by that because we're in one of them right now. I am horrified by the results of this battle. We need judges. We need better judges. We had a total of 12 new judges in season 6 on the Who Would Win show. First timers, people who never done the show before. And some were better than others. I'll just go ahead and say it. There were some that listened to what I had to say and put math and science together in the way I wanted them to, and we'll have them back. And then there's the other people. Thanks for your time. Your services will no longer be required. Don't call us. We won't call you. Now, as I sit here at the end of season 6, let's face it, at the end of the day, this battle was delightful. This battle's fun. These are two characters. We wanted Kirby back on the show for a redemption match. Shadow the Hedgehog is the movie. Keanu Reeves, for God's sakes. But that being said, this means nothing. This changes nothing. Season 6 is now complete. It's in the books. Next week, we're going to do our end season and review award show. Those of you who are on Patreon had an opportunity to vote for your favorites. So if you don't like who won, shut up. You had every chance to join Patreon and do it. You had every chance to be on Patreon and vote. And you had every chance to vote again and again and again. You had a chance to get 5 or 6 email addresses, sign them all up for Patreon, sign them all up to our Patreon, and then vote 6 times, but you didn't, did you? So shut your mouth when it comes to the decisions of the only people in my life that matter, people who support me financially. I had a point here, but now I don't. Goodbye, season 6. You were stupid.
I just want to jump in here, and I know I'm on the list for potential best judge of the year.
How?
I'm trying to get on the list, the worst judge of the year, those controversial decisions. I also want to throw my hat into the ring for best new judge, best first-time judge. I don't know if that's possible, but if we could talk to the people that do those polls, you just throw my name in there. Appreciate it. That's all.
Hey, Ray, where can people find you online?
I don't want them to.
Fair.
Find me on Patreon, you nerds.
Wow. What a salesman you are. You can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, a.k.a. Race Against's favorite platform, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gabsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Race Against, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and foodie debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Are you a geek who likes sports?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. We hope it is good. Welcome to another edition of Geeks Who Like Sports. The Yankees really kind of mailed it in. She's the Goblin Queen. Like, yeah. It's legit. Football 101. Take what the defense gives you.
The NBA All-Star Game is fake. The Emperor would absolutely throw Vader under the bus.
Listen or watch Geeks Who Like Sports on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.